#1 sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get a booty act. Lay it down. Smack them. Yeah.
Nighttime is the right time. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
If we die, we die together.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive, recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio.
Is now.
Oh, got to be.
This is what we do.
From the Quick and Loan Studios, here's Tony D.
So the NFL playoffs are coming up this weekend, and there's four rather interesting games. Every game has got an interesting angle to it. You know, the Chiefs have got this 11-game win streak, but the Patriots are more healthy. Seattle might be the most dangerous sixth seed we've ever seen in the NFL, and they're going up against the Carolina Panthers, who have only lost once this season. And Ron Rivera slept better than he ever had after that one loss to Atlanta. Kind of got that monkey off his back of, we lost, now let's move on. You also got Green Bay and Arizona, a rematch of between teams just a couple of weeks ago where Arizona kind of destroyed Green Bay. And are the Packers, is the Packers offense clicking? And they got, you know, Davante Adams is injured. But then there's one game in particular. We're going to kind of go over all these in this hour. There's one game that between the Denver Broncos and the Pittsburgh Steelers that, as I've been saying all week, is just going to be really hard for the Steelers to win. But here's an angle to the story of the Steelers and Broncos and Ben Roethlisberger's injury that, Adam, you will not be able to understand. And you're a smart guy when it comes to sports, but you will not be able to understand the reference that was made by a couple of Denver Bronco players.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Of the... this is great. The Broncos are not buying into Ben Roethlisberger's Jedi mind trick on his injured shoulder. For those of you who don't know, Adam has never seen 1 second of Star Wars, nor does he know any Star Wars references, so we like to have fun with this. According to defensive end Antonio Smith of the Denver Broncos, quote, Ben, he kind of looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi. He tried to pull the Jedi mind trick on everybody. Oh, yeah, I'm really hurt. I might not play. And then he comes in the game and tries to ball. So I may have to explain to you what he's talking about here.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
I guess I kind of get it just out of context.
Context, but Obi-Wan Kenobi was a Jedi, as a, you know, obviously by the reference. He was Luke Skywalker's Jedi teacher. One of the things that happened in the Star Wars movie was Luke got to learn that the Force has power over the weak-minded. For example, when they went to Mos Eisley, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually doing this. When they went to Mos Eisley to look for a ship to go to the planet Alderaan, they were stopped by stormtroopers, and Obi-Wan Kenobi just simply said, "You don't need to see his identification. We don't need to see his identification. These aren't the droids you're looking for. These aren't the droids we're looking for. You can go about his business. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along. Move along." That's the Star Wars reference. That's what he's talking about with Ben Roethlisberger.
I got nothing for you.
I know, you got nothing. I bet I lost you on that whole Mos Eisley take a ship to Alderaan. Anyway, this could be interesting, because now I'm not so despondent as a Steelers fan that maybe Ben is just kind of pulling everybody's prank and gonna be like, I'm fine. I'm gonna sling it like I've never slung it before. I highly doubt it.
But the rough part is still that, you know, it doesn't look good for Antonio Brown. If you had Antonio Brown,
concussions.
I would say, like, okay, you know what? Yeah, you got something there. You know, if Ben is playing a little bit, you got something, because we all know him and Antonio Brown can go nuts and beat anybody in the NFL. But without Antonio Brown and just Marcus Wheaton and Martavius Bryant,
no, it's not going to work.
I just don't see it, especially against that defense. You need who is probably the best wide receiver in the NFL.
I need to pull a Donald Trump now. I need to be like, hey, the game is so soft. Guys want to be out with concussions? I mean, really, back in the day, right? Guys used to get hit all the time. Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, right? They used to get hit all the time. They'd be back in that game the next day. What's happening to our country? Everything's so soft. Nobody's even playing football anymore. Antonio Brown, get your butt out there and play football. After all, that's what you paid for. I'll just pull that off. As a fan, I really want him to pass that protocol. But, you know, as a, I don't know, rational human being with a brain and a heart, I'm glad it's in place. Just stinks. Ugh. Because, you know, you're right. You know what? Trump in his weird way is right. If this was 1986, he'd be right there now. They would have been like, can you see? Yeah, I can see. Good, you're playing. Do you have any headaches? A little bit. Nah, it's fine. Everybody has headaches. Get out there and play. Catch some passes. Oh, the Steelers are in trouble, though. They are really in trouble. This is just not going to look good. Listen, Roethlisberger can throw the whole Jedi mind trick out there. He can try to persuade everybody that he's going to be all right. That he's hurt and he can barely throw and then go out there and sling it all over the place. But let's be realistic. He took a huge shot from Vontaze Burfict on the sack. He really... I was curious when he came back into the game. I remember when there was a moment when, and I think you and I had this conversation on Twitter Sunday or Saturday, when CBS got all excited when Roethlisberger was coming into the game, and then he wasn't, and Landry Jones came in. And I was like, oh, CBS, relax. But then he did come in the game, and he could not throw. I mean, he could not go downfield. And let me tell you, if there was anybody that at any time that they needed to go downfield, it was during that drive. And he wasn't trying to fool anybody. He legitimately couldn't throw. So that's that. We know that. We know that on Saturday night, he could not throw the ball downfield. Okay. Does that mean on Wednesday he couldn't throw the ball downfield? No. He could have healed up quickly. Is it more likely that he's going to be limited in his throwing on his shoulder on Sunday against the Broncos? I'm a betting guy. I'm leaning towards yes. I just don't think you go from, I can't even go 10 yards downfield. I have to throw short passes, sling passes, dump passes. I have to do that to slinging it around Mile High, you know, Mile High Stadium or Sports Authority Field at Mile High, you know, a week later. I just don't see it.
My concern would be more towards, okay, say it is a close game heading into the fourth quarter. How's his shoulder feeling then? You know,
absolutely.
I mean, after three quarters of what he's going to have to do is sling it around the field, it's got to be sore and, you know, not as loose. And that's what worries me more. But I don't even know if it'll be a close game come fourth quarter because I just don't like the matchup the way it stands now without Antonio Brown.
Look, I love, you know, injuries are part of the game, and I get it, and we've all accepted that since the second we got into these into sports in general as young kids. But think about how injuries have seriously affected these playoffs. This season, but just in these four games, the Steelers were supposed to be this juggernaut offense, this top line offense going up against a Broncos defense that is number one in the NFL. This is an ideal playoff matchup. But what do you get? Injuries have throttled down the Steelers so much that I don't even think it's going to be that at all in any sort of capacity whatsoever. You think about the Green Bay Packers. Oh, yeah, we like them. Davante Adams is out. I don't know if that changes anything. I mean, that totally affects them in a different way. You look at the New England Patriots. They are healthier. Yes, but the Chiefs come in. Jeremy Maclin hasn't practiced all week. Tom Bahali and Justin Houston may be game time decisions for Kansas City. I mean, again, injuries are part of the game. So I'm not lamenting injuries. I'm not saying that, oh, we got to find a way to prevent that. No, these are just facts of life, and I'm totally accepting of it. But it just is so depressing to know how much these matchups are affected by the bumps, bruises, and injuries that each team is coming into these postseason. We're just, on paper, we're not getting the matchup that we want, that we could see playing out. It is kind of too bad.
Yeah,
but again, every year we go through this, so I mean, I can't complain too much. But I just feel like some of these playoff matchups are just a little bit less than because of what we're facing in terms of the injury bug.
Yeah, I mean, just look at last week with Houston, Kansas City. We were missing Arian Foster and Jamal Charles.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
that's
two of the top five backs in the league.
Exactly. You're 100% right. Jadeveon Clowney didn't play, right? And J.J. Watt had to leave the game. And you know, didn't return. So, I mean, it's just so, it's just frustrating. And it, and more of this may be coming out because I really, really was looking forward to this post. I want, as a Steelers fan, I just wanted them to get in. I didn't care what seed they were. I was like, give me that offense against anybody in this league. I think they're a legitimate Super Bowl threat. They are not even close.
I would love to see a comparison of last year's injuries to this year's, just to see how it compares.
Coming up next, we're going to give the rundown of these four playoff matches and our thoughts and your thoughts as well. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, it is time to go over the four games in the National Football League. Now, if you've been following us all season, we usually do a thing where we give ratings to games during the regular season, right? Like, this matchup isn't even worth your time. This matchup is worth all of your time. We're not really going to do that because all of these games are very, very important. But we decide to go over them anyway and give us our takes and thoughts and processes and what you can expect to see of the four games of the NFL playoff weekend. All right, we'll start in Foxborough, where the New England Patriots will take on the Kansas City Chiefs. I mentioned in the last segment, the Chiefs have won 11 in a row, but Tom Bahali, Justin Houston haven't practiced. Their game time decisions, Jeremy Maclin hasn't practiced all week. He has a high ankle sprain. He may be out. So the Chiefs are going to come in a little bit banged up. Even if all three play, I don't know about the effectiveness of all three. The Patriots, on the other hand, they've lost 4 of 6. But as every single Patriot fan will tell you, that was our JV team that the Jets and Dolphins beat. We didn't have any of these guys. Julian Edelman is back. Sebastian Vollmer is back. They're healthy. They're healthier. Okay. What do we expect here? Well, what I don't expect is, hey, the last time these two teams played, a year and a half ago, they were throttled at Arrowhead, causing people to wonder if Tom Brady's time has come.
Yeah, weren't they calling for Garoppolo?
Jimmy Garoppolo time. Era to begin.
Yep.
Time to move on from Brady. Thanks for everything. Then they went on and destroyed Cincinnati, and the rest was history. Well, I don't expect that. Even though a lot of the players on both sides are going to be in this game, I don't expect that. But I think Kansas City can hold their own here.
I do, too. That defense will keep them in the game.
Yeah, I do, too. I agree.
And the other thing is the running game, which I really like with Chynderic West and Spencer Ware, they control the clock. And Alex Smith's quick throws that normally are completed, it controls the clock and keeps the chains moving and keeps New England's offense off the field.
Yeah, that was one of the keys Baltimore used when they beat the Patriots a couple of years ago en route to the Super Bowl, was just keeping time of possession and check and all that other kind of stuff. And you look, Kansas City, I know Alex Smith threw a couple of picks in their last final game of the year, but he keeps everything reasonably close. I mean, he doesn't throw the ball away. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, and so the Chiefs don't turn the ball over a lot, so the Patriots will have their work cut out for him there. But I think this is going to be a really fun game to watch. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to be a 30-plus point explosion, but I think that defenses are going to be pretty decent. I think Kansas City is going to be able to move the ball and score some points, and I think the Patriots will, if they do win this game, I think we'll put a lot of people going, all right, this is the Patriots team we always thought they were there. But I think the Chiefs are really, really good. I expect them to be good in this matchup.
What did you think about the Chandler Jones story real quick?
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to get to that yesterday, and I kind of forgot. Chandler Jones. Synthetic weed, man.
I didn't OD on pills. It was synthetic weed.
Here's my thing, man. I'm one of those guys, and I've been on the record saying I think the NFL needs to chill out with marijuana. I think it needs to relax a little bit. I don't think it has to be as big of a deal as people are making it. I think you should be just subject to the law of your area, but I think the NFL should just say whatever. I mean, I just don't think the NFL, this is a soapbox, I don't think the NFL needs to be on all the time. But the reality of it is, even if I make that argument as a guy that is saying, hey, look, I think we're evolving as a culture, we're evolving as a society, it's time for the NFL to view this differently, that doesn't change the fact that it's still in the rule book that you can't take this.
Right.
So you can't, it's like this, you can't break into a bank to show the bank its security system is faulty. Right. You can't use that excuse. You can't sneak on an airplane to show the airline company that you could hijack this plane easily and that their security is faulty. You're not allowed to do that. So if you're trying to protest marijuana rules, you don't do that by smoking pot and then getting caught by the league and then using it as a stool. He didn't do those things, but you should know the stakes that you're under. You should know what this means at this time of year. If you take that gamble, you could be in serious trouble in playing down the stretch in the playoffs and hurt your team. So why would you mess around with that stuff? Good old Chandler Jones. All right, the Green Bay Packers at Arizona. Boy, I really wanted to believe that the Green Bay Packers were going to be on the right track, but I don't think they are.
No.
I don't. I think it's a Washington Redskin thing that allowed them to be good. I think the injury of Adams is still going to hurt them. And I just think, look, Bruce Arians last year went into the playoffs with what, his fourth string quarterback or his third? And
it was Ryan, someone they pulled off the street, wasn't it?
Ryan,
I mean,
Lindsay.
He had been there, but they pulled him off the street.
Yeah, it was Carson Palmer, then it was Drew Stanton, then wasn't it somebody else, and then it was this kid Ryan Lindsay?
Yeah, it was the kid from Virginia Tech, right? The rookie.
Right. So he went into the playoffs last year with basically hey, who wants to play quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals lottery?
There was legit talk for Tim Tebow, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. This is the year he's got everything on Jack. I do not see Bruce Arians blowing this at all. I think this is a game of perfection for Arizona. They have defense. They have depth. They have Carson Palmer, who's having an MVP-like season. This is going to be a cruise for the Cardinals. I honestly believe they will win this game by double digits and win it easily. But then again, Green Bay's defense could do some stuff. I don't know. I think this is going to be an Arizona victory.
Yeah.
Easily. Carolina Panthers and the Seattle Seahawks. Let's be honest here. This is when you throw out records and rankings and seeds and all of that. These are one game shots. Ron Rivera, Pete Carroll, one game moves you to the NFC Championship game. Yes, Carolina is at home, but Seattle is a tough sixth seed. But the Carolina Panthers play Seattle very well. They did it last year when they went up to Seattle in the playoffs. Kept the Seahawks in check. Could have pulled that off. This year they went to Seattle and beat the Seahawks. So they play Seattle very well. Cam Newton is the MVP of the league. They have a defense that's phenomenal and an offense that's just doing great, great things. The Seahawks, though, this is the thing about the Seahawks. Over the last two seasons, when they are in the playoffs, they find a way. And the one time that they didn't find a way in the last 2 years was because of a dumb play call that should have never happened. Think about that for a second. The Seattle Seahawks over the last 2 years, it hasn't always been easy. It has not been easy. They needed a tip pass against San Francisco in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago that led to an interception. Just a tip of a pass that was going to be caught by the 49ers. Last year, last year against Green Bay, a literal football miracle coming back into that game. And then against the Patriots, had the Patriots on the ropes at the end zone. Had a chance to put it away and win the game. Dumb play call. Malcolm Butler makes a great play and they lose. Seattle finds ways in these games. This is the upset that I have. I think the Patriots do squeak it out against the Chiefs. I think Seattle is going to win this game in Charlotte.
Marshawn Lynch looks to be on track to play. He's been full participant all week. But remember, he was a full participant all last week as well before.
That's right.
He himself said he was too hurt to play. Not the doctors.
Didn't go, right?
Yeah,
didn't go to Minnesota.
Like, he was supposed to get on the plane. They were there. He was there. And then he was just like, no, I'm not going to go. I'm too hurt to play. No. So that's just a complete wait and see thing with them.
Pittsburgh and Denver, we talked about this in the last segment. I think the Steelers are too banged up. Peyton Manning does not even have to be close to good Peyton Manning. I think he just has to be efficient Peyton Manning. They're already falling back in love with Peyton Manning after they booed him about 2 months ago. They love him now because he's going to be the savior of a Super Bowl-type season. The Steelers have got their work cut out for him defensively. They're not a very good defensive team. They're not bad, but they're not great. This is going to be a game where I don't know how in the world Todd Haley and Mike Tomlin come up with an offensive game plan. Maybe Roethlisberger is great and his shoulder's fine and it's just all a quote-unquote Jedi mind trick, as Antonio Smith said. But the reality of it is the Steelers are going to have a hard time putting up points against that Denver defense. They're not going to be able to run on them. And the Manning just has to put up a few and the Broncos will win. All right, Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio. We'll talk to Lorenzo Reyes next.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, looking ahead to the four playoff games. We're in the divisional round now of the NFL. Lorenzo Reyes joins us from USA Today here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Help us get an idea of what we're going to see this weekend. How are you, Lorenzo?
I'm doing all right.
All right, let's start in New England. The Patriots are healthy, but the Chiefs come in having won 11 in a row. People are looking at this as an upset kind of game because of the way the Chiefs play and they don't turn the ball over that much. How do you see that one?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be at this game. I love what the Chiefs have done, and they've played really, really well. And it's not that they've been on this 11-game winning streak against, you know, some scrub teams. They've played well against some good teams as well. So they do have a shot. I don't want to say that you know, obviously it's the Patriots, and we have this history of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the playoffs being dominant, especially at home. But, you know, I think the part of the problem why people aren't giving the Chiefs maybe as much of a chance is because of their quarterback, Alex Smith. He's not the sexiest guy, but he's a game manager. But I say that with a lot of praise, in the sense that he's smart. He knows when to take chances and when to not take chances. And I think against this Patriots defense, that's a good way to approach it. And the Chiefs very much have a shot here, but I'm still going to go. I'm not going to bet against Tom Brady and the Patriots, especially with Julian Edelman coming back. I think Edelman's return is really the biggest thing here, because what made New England's offense so good in the beginning of the season was how quick Tom Brady was getting the ball out of the snap and just flinging passes left and right. And when Deion Lewis went down with his injury, when Edelman went down with his injury, Brady didn't have those weapons around him. So he was holding onto the ball a little bit longer. And those deficiencies on this young offensive line that has also been devastated by injuries, those deficiencies started to show. With Edelman back, I think the Patriots will go back to that quick-release offense. And then they still have Rob Gronkowski. So I've got to lean with the Patriots. I just think at home they're too strong, they're too experienced.
Let's stay in the AFC Sunday afternoon's game between Denver and Pittsburgh. And boy, Pittsburgh is just really banged up. Now, Peyton Manning is starting for Denver, and he had been injured in the first part of the season. But with the Steelers, is there any new news about Antonio Brown's availability, how effective Ben Roethlisberger is going to be? I know we're early in practice week, but any sort of light on what they may be having or not having when they go to Denver?
Yeah, I think the biggest question here is Ben, because we saw at the end of the game when he had to come in and you know, claw out that victory against the Bengals there. But it was evident that Roethlisberger could not throw the ball down the field. And for some reason, the Bengals really, they were fine to give Pittsburgh's receivers some space, which if Ben is limited in a similar fashion, I'm expecting him to play because he's just a tough guy, and he's, you know, I think this is a game where he understands that, you know, it's one of those things that it's going to hurt and he's not going to be himself necessarily. But if he doesn't go, then you're looking at Landry Jones, and then Ben's going to know that he has the entire offseason to think, what if I had started in this game or at least attempted to come in at some point? So I'm expecting him to play, but with that said, I just don't think he's going to be, the Ben Roethlisberger we're used to. And if he can't push the ball down the field, even if Antonio Brown can't go, Martavis Bryant is an excellent threat on the outside, and he has that speed. But Denver's defense is really, really good. And their cornerbacks, Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr., you combine them with the pass rush that Denver has. They led the league with 52 sacks this season, so they can get after the quarterback. So if the Broncos can create that pressure and force Ben to maybe get rid of the ball when he doesn't want to get rid of it, or at least put hits on him, I think you're going to see a really tentative Ben Roethlisberger, because, I mean, we have to, if he does go, we have to acknowledge how tough it is for him to be playing with that injury. And I just think it's going to be something that's going to be in the back of his mind no matter what happens. So, you know, I'm in this game, I'm also leaning toward Denver because of that reason. I know Peyton's kind of a question because we haven't seen him do too much, but I think he's just had so much time to rest up that I think he'll be fine.
Lorenzo Reyes joins us USA Today talking some NFL. Saturday night, Green Bay against Arizona. People are now looking at Green Bay saying, hey, maybe they got back on track a little bit. But then others sort of point to the competition that they played in the Redskins and not having the kind of quality secondary that we are used to seeing at this level of the playoffs. Do you buy that? And is there a puncher's chance for the Packers in Arizona?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a puncher's chance. I was at that game in Washington last week, and it's funny because after we're, you know, the game's done and we're in the press conferences, and basically Aaron Rodgers, he said something that stuck with me. He said, you know, this performance was big in us getting our mojo back. And I walked around the locker room and I asked players, like, you know, hey, is this a fluke, or is this something that we're going to see the rest of the playoffs? And they seemed to be thinking that this was it. Like, this was, you know, they were confident. They felt like they were back. And I think a lot of it was that the Packers offensive line did do a good job of keeping Rodgers, at least preventing him from getting hit. They gave up the one sack, which was a safety, but they did a pretty good job. And Washington's pass rush isn't terrible. You know, they're not to the level of the Cardinals. I wouldn't say that they're not even close, but, you know, there's, as long as Green Bay can build on this game they had against Washington, I think they can have a shot here. But you know, the Cardinals, they're such a strong team, and I think everyone's going to talk about, well, they got blown out by the Seahawks late in the year. But, you know, this is a Cardinals team that also pounded Green Bay. They forced 9 sacks in week 16. And, you know, I want to say that the Cardinals, they know what to expect here. Even though this Packers offense wasn't what we were expecting when they last played, I think that Arizona's feeling pretty confident that they'll be able to at home, have the Packers come in and basically have a similar outcome. Now, I don't think it's going to be a blowout like that. I think it's going to be a much closer game.
Seattle at Carolina. The Panthers played the Seattle Seahawks tough, even last year in the playoffs. This year they went to Seattle and were able to win. But Seattle's got that dangerous six seed angle to it. When you look at this game, what's the factor in this ball game?
Yeah, I think Seattle is the strongest six seed we've seen in a long time. Let me put it like that. I'm in Seattle right now, and I spent some time around the team today, and you know, I got to tell you, I felt like this group was really, really loose. They just seemed confident, and I know that doesn't say much in terms of you know, X's and O's and things like that, but they've been here before, and I very much got the impression that they were just, it was another day at work, you know, and they were just preparing for an opponent. Now the thing is, a lot of players told me that basically they, you know, they understood that they had a chance. Basically, they had that game won when the Panthers beat them early in the year. They were up 23-14, I believe, and just Seattle's defense fell apart at the end. And I think Seattle at this point, they're perhaps more than any other team, they have really grown from where they were early in the season. I think that defense, even though they seemed to slip up last week against the Vikings, allowing Minnesota to get into field goal range, that defense is starting to play at its intimidating, physical, aggressive style that we've become used to. And out of all the games this week that I think there's a shot for a little bit of an upset here, I think this is the one. I think this is honestly, this might be the best game of the playoffs. I love this matchup.
Lorenzo Reyes, USA Today on the NFL. Four games, big ones this weekend. Appreciate your insight. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to be getting more and more into the playoffs coming up, also next hour. But coming up next, I want to get into this, a little NBA, because, yeah, it's the regular season. But, boy, I think there was something to take out of the San Antonio-Cleveland game tonight that we touched on in the first hour, which was how difficult is it going to be for the Cleveland Cavaliers to win a title? How good is San Antonio? How good is Golden State? We'll touch upon that because if you're like me, you kind of root for the story of the Cleveland Cavaliers and this redemption of LeBron James going back to try to win a title. What if he doesn't do it because teams are just rising that are too strong? We'll talk about that next. We'll also get your thoughts on the NFL, 800-777-2907. Who do you like? Who do you not like in the playoffs? We'll also hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. A lot of ways to get in touch with us. Please do so. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. So the San Antonio Spurs beat the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. If you take things out of regular season games, I don't ask you to do a lot of it. I wouldn't do a lot of it, but sometimes you can. I think this says something about the pursuit of a championship for Cleveland. LeBron James is not getting any younger. We know that. I don't know how many more years he's got. I mean, it's not like he's going to retire next year. But in his pursuit of getting a championship to Cleveland, he is running into two excellent Western Conference teams. Now, I think the Cavaliers are going to win the East. I think there's no Eastern Conference team that can beat them in seven games. Barring injuries, of course. You know, injuries change the game. So all of this discussion is with the caveat that injuries could change everything. But when I look at what's going on in the Western Conference, and again, I wish I saw some of this game tonight because I had to go out to a school function for my kids. So this was the game I circled. This was the game I wanted to see because the story that I like is LeBron bringing a championship home. It's not just to the city of Cleveland. It's home, a place he grew up, a place he understands. It's a good story to me. That's what I want. I root for those kind of things. When he announced that he was going back to Cleveland, I really, really liked that. I know a lot of people said, LeBron and the decision. And I really enjoyed the redemptiveness of that angle. Guy went, I got to go back. I got to go do this. I won my championships in Miami. I think I can go to Cleveland and bring a championship home. And if you remember that championship last year, against Golden State, how much better Golden State was. It was one of the best finals I saw LeBron play, because even in a losing effort, he's dragging a team, an injured team, kicking and screaming. He's dragging them to some sort of respectability in a finals. They got it to six games. I see this team now, as good as they are, I just can't imagine them winning four out of seven games against either the Warriors or the Spurs. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, injuries could change everything. Steph Curry could tear an ACL and be done for the year. San Antonio's pretty deep. Golden State's pretty deep. So, you don't know how these things may play out. But who thought the rise of the Golden State Warriors at the time that LeBron was heading back to Cleveland? Do you remember that summer? How much did the Golden State Warriors really kind of catch us by surprise about how good they were last year? This year, not so much. I mean, this year, we kind of knew they were going to be good. They started off great. They seem to be on this mission. They've only lost three games. And even in the losses, there's a little reasoning behind every one of them. I don't know who's coming out of the West. I think San Antonio's defense is outstanding. They seem to be getting a good contribution from LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, the big three don't have to be the big three because Kawhi Leonard is his team. They've got depth. They're getting good contributions from all sorts of players that come into that game. So if we get the Western Conference Finals between Golden State and San Antonio, we're all better off for it as NBA fans. But if you're looking for an opportunity for LeBron to get that title for the city of Cleveland, to see a parade in that city, to see a way for that championship drought comes to an end, and LeBron completing the circle, Because remember, I've said this for a long time about LeBron James. People love the idea of got to get six, got to get six, got to get six. LeBron, I don't think wants six. Like Kobe was obsessed with getting that one more. He knew what the narrative was. He knew what the conversation was being had about his legacy. If you're going to compete against the Michael Jordan legacy, you got to get six. Even if you lose a couple, which Michael never did. I don't think LeBron ever was concerned about getting six. Yes, he did have that one moment in Miami when they had their little pep rally after the decision where he's like, not one, not two, not three, you know, that kind of thing. I think he wants one. And I think that defines his legacy. Because I think he sees that as, you know what, I don't need to measure myself up against the greats, but I do want to be remembered for this. All the points, all the finals losses, all whatever I've meant to the game, whatever contributions I've made to the game, wherever I helped take it, all of that aside, if I have a legacy, I want it to be, I gave this city a title. I don't know where this could come from.
If he doesn't win a title in Cleveland, does it hurt his legacy significantly?
I don't think it hurts his legacy, but it does. I think you'll remember it. You know what? It's funny. I was talking to a buddy of mine about Nick Saban. He's a huge Alabama fan. He's talking about Nick Saban. And he wanted to know my thoughts about Nick Saban going to the NFL. And I said, look, one of the things that Nick Saban would have to be wary of if he decides to go to the NFL is all of the titles that he's won in college will never be forgotten. There's no question about that. But the problem is legacies are sometimes defined on how you closed out your career. So if you're Nick Saban and you're running through all these titles at Alabama, even if you don't win another and you coach for another 5 years, you get Alabama competitive, you're in the playoff a couple more times, you lose, it won't matter. When it's all said and done, people want to put things in a box and they'll put greatest college football coach ever in a box. Doesn't matter if you closed out with no titles in the last 5 years. They'll remember the four you won at Alabama plus the one at LSU. But if you go to the NFL and you fail again, you go to the NFL and you take over a Titans team and it's just a mess. You never get the thing off the ground. You fail. You're losing more games. People, you know, you end up getting fired part ways. That's a tagline to your legacy that I think people will say, yeah, but LeBron may have that. Yeah, but they'll remember the two titles and they'll remember all the scoring. And they'll remember the impact and all those things. And I don't think those will be lost. But this was a big deal. Going back to Cleveland was a big deal. He didn't do it for money. He didn't do it because it was the best chance to win a title. He did it for a specific reason. I'm on a mission. I'm giving my hometown a title. If he doesn't do that, it is going to be remembered. Yahoo Sports Radio.